And welcome to the Deal With It podcast, where we deal with theological topics each week. Sometimes we deal with issues. This time we're going to be dealing with some serious issues. And for that, we have our brother in Christ, Justin Peters, on the podcast with us this week. Justin is an evangelist. He's a traveling preacher. His ministry specifically, well, first and foremost, is to present the gospel, but is also to point out some of the things, mysticism, New Age theology, things of that nature that are working their way into the church. A lot of big, large mega churches, so on and so forth, have gotten involved in this type of business. So, Justin, how are you doing, brother?
Doing well, Josh. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. This is great. It's a great opportunity. Actually, Justin gave a sermon at our church this morning, and then another small presentation shortly afterwards, and it was very edifying. Wow, your ministry. It's especially hearing about the things. I know I heard one of your talks last week, last Sunday, and then this week. Between the two times hearing your talks, it's just so much. It's false teachers, and just to see how prevalent that is, and to see the clips when these guys are talking, just how many people are actually involved. I think that's one of the most shocking things. So could you just talk a little bit about your ministry in general and what your calling has been?
Sure, Josh. Well, I tell people that my first commitment is to expositional preaching, preaching God's word verse by verse. I believe that is where the true power is, and that's what people need as a steady diet in their church, is expositional preaching, just plowing through God's word verse by verse, and as opposed to topical preaching, which most preachers seem to do today. But what I'm known for, and a lot of people think that this is my only interest, it's the only thing I care about, it's really not. It's just what I guess I happen to be known for is the seminar entitled Clouds Without Water that deals with the Word of Faith movement, the health and wealth, prosperity gospel, all the people that you see, well, not all the people, but the vast majority of the people that you see on Christian television, TBN, Inspiration Network, Daystar, and these that teach it's always God's will to be healed, always right. God's will to be wealthy. The gospel is about you. You should have your best life now, as Joel Osteen says. And what I've done is taken dozens of video clips of all of these false teachers. And so I let people see and hear for themselves what right. they actually teach right out of the horse's own mouth, so to speak. And the purpose of my seminar is twofold. I have two desires. One is to show people how heretical this movement actually is, the depths of the heresy of it, and how it does indeed constitute a different gospel. But the corresponding desire to that is that point by point, I correct the error with scripture, with biblical truth. And so I want people to come away not only knowing how dangerous this movement is, but also come away knowing the Bible's a little bit better,
right.
and knowing how to read and interpret scripture, coming away learning a little bit about hermeneutics. And so that's kind of the twofold desire that I have for the seminar, Clouds Without Water.
Because don't you think that today, especially, is the Bible is just kind of looked at as a almost like a candy store where people will go and it's because they're not taught any other way, they will go and pick a couple verses out from here, or maybe even one verse, and build a whole entire theological structure on it, and it's a verse that is taken out of context. So I really want to stress in this podcast the authority of Scripture. You know, being personally confessionally reformed, I subscribe to the LBCF 1689, it starts with Scripture. And it seems like so much of that, whereas the guys further back in history were very concerned with Scripture, it seems like today that is being lost, that authority of Scripture, the considering Scripture as a whole, rather than just picking from here and there, which is kind of what topical preaching inevitably does.
Right.
So don't you think that the integrity or the crack in the integrity of the authority of Scripture is what causes these things to kind of seep into the church. It's the church kind of letting their guard down and maybe not setting Scripture as authoritative as it should be.
Without a doubt, without a doubt. And there truly is a paucity of biblical understanding amongst professing Christians today. There's a famine in the land of the Word of God, for sure. And most pastors, unfortunately, in a desire to please the masses and a desire to grow a church and a desire not to offend anyone, they want more people in the pews to give more money.
Right.
They water down the gospel. They dilute it, and they don't teach people. They don't do expositional preaching. They don't teach people how to rightly divide the word of truth. And so, yeah, I mean, the vast majority of professing Christians who go to church regularly may bring their Bibles with them to church on Sunday morning, but chances are during the week they rarely, if ever, pick it up. Or if they do, they really don't have good hermeneutics. They don't know how to read the Bible. They do what's called eisegesis. Right. They read a meaning into the text that is not there. They read themselves into a text. They read a meaning in there that the text does not support, rather than what should be done is exegesis, getting the meaning out of the text. But people, unfortunately, are being taught from the pulpits bad hermeneutics, that the Bible is all about them. Jeremiah 29:11. Anybody knows that verse? For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, give you a future and hope. And people think that's about them.
Right.
They write that on their Bible covers. And it's engraven, that's their life verse. And yet that verse has nothing to do with us.
Right.
So just one example of how people don't. You can take any number of verses out of Scripture, out of context. You can make the Bible say whatever you want it to say. And if you don't have good hermeneutics, then you're gonna ingest it hook, line, and sinker.
Right, and it seems like that's what's really going on. And if I could just add that, in a lot of the bigger churches, you do notice this supposed emphasis. Maybe it's a facade, something to make the church look attractive. That they are indeed holding God's word in reverence. They'll always say, "Oh well, no creed but the Bible," or something to that effect, and they'll hold up, the Bible, and they'll say Jesus, and they'll set the Bible apart, they'll say, the Bible's awesome, but it is really what it comes down to is the gospel is not being preached in those congregations from those pulpits. The gospel is not central, and it really is taking those verses out, kind of like somebody would go through a candy store or something like that, shopping for which one looks the best to eat. And picking that out and then elaborating upon that and how that solely applies to your life rather than pointing to Christ, which is what always should be done in Scripture.
That's
it's
right.
not happening. You meet so many people that come out of these churches and they're like, "Oh, it's a great church." And it's kind of difficult to get to the heart of the matter because you say, "Well, is it a biblical church?" "Oh, yeah, of course." You have the copy and paste statements of faith. You can't really tell anymore unless you go and you sit there, and you sit in the pews for a Sunday or two.
And that's exactly right, Josh, because every evangelical church is at least going to have to give lip service. Yeah, we believe the Bible.
Right.
Oh, the Bible is our creed. The Bible is the word of God. We lift it up. It's authoritative. And they may even say that in their doctrinal statement on their website. But like you said, most churches' doctrinal statements are just cut and paste, basic Christianity 101 kind of stuff.
Right.
I'm looking for a couple of things. I'm looking for a detailed doctrinal statement, not something that's just cut and paste. I want a detailed doctrinal statement. I want to know where a church stands on a number of different issues. I want to know where they stand on imputed versus infused righteousness. I want to know where they stand on the continuance or lack thereof, preferably the latter, of the apostolic gifts. I want to know, what they really believe. And lots of pastors, lots of churches will use the right lingo.
Right.
But they don't mean by that lingo what you and I would mean by
it. Right.
And they don't mean by what the Bible means by it, first and foremost. And for example, I have a clip of Joel Osteen and Joseph Prince talking about repentance. And Joseph Prince says, you know, we may not use the word repentance, but we teach people to repent. You know, when they go from thinking negatively to thinking positively. You know, so like, well, we may not use biblical terminology, but we still teach the same thing. And a lot of pastors, which he doesn't, of course, but a lot of pastors will say, oh, yeah, we believe the word of God and we teach it. Well, do you really? You can tell by the depth of a pastor's sermon whether or not he really believes that. You can tell by how they do church. Is it seeker sensitive? Do they make it fun? Do they make it entertaining? Do they try to, you know, meet people's felt needs? Or are they simply opening the word of God and preaching verse by verse in scripture? And I tell people one of the ways, if you really want to know how seriously your church really does take the word of God, ask the church leadership, what do they do with Matthew 18, 15 through 20, dealing with church discipline? What do you do with that?
Yeah.
Because that's hard.
Yeah.
That goes against societal niceties.
Right.
It's not polite.
Yeah.
You know, and yet that's the first command that Jesus gave to his church
right.
in scripture. So if you really want to know, you read that text and ask the leadership in your church, point to it. Do you do this?
Yeah.
You'll get a pretty good idea pretty quick how seriously they really take the word of God.
And it's difficult, too, for a lot of these churches because they're so massive. They're so massive that most of them have just neglected membership requirements altogether.
Yeah.
And without a general grasp, I mean, it's not wrong to have a big congregation, but without a general grasp of who is part of your church, without those membership requirements, how can you do or administer church discipline and things like that? How can you have a grasp on the church? And really, a lot of these newer churches or the directions that they began going are really bringing, it's an appeal to the goats, to bring the goats
Absolutely.
Into, well, amongst the sheep. And
right.
nowhere in scripture are we called to do that. I mean, we're called to herald the gospel and go preach the gospel to those goats in hopes that God will draw them unto himself. But they are not called to be members in the church or to sit amongst the congregation. That's the scary thing about it, is that they're coming in droves, and you have more people that are not saved sitting in the pews than you do people that are saved.
Yeah.
And that's a big issue. I think that that's a very dangerous thing. And I think that's why a lot of this charismaticism is so popular. It's people like you said it earlier in the presentation, people hear, you know, I can be healed. I mean, there's this faith healing. There's prosperity involved in this, monetary prosperity involved in this. There's immediate needs being met, immediate physical needs being
right.
met, or at least that's what's advertised.
Right.
That is something that looks appealing. So, I'll, you know, in the droves, especially in the, the consumer generation that we live in now, it's very appealing. It's a very appealing thing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yes. Pastors, teachers are tickling people's ears.
Mm, yeah.
And tell them what they want to hear.
Yeah.
You know, per 2 Timothy 4.
Yeah.
And I would hold that the preponderance of false teachers that we see today is in and of itself part of God's judgment on us. That God is giving people exactly what they want. They want to have their ears tickled. And so God says, okay,
yeah.
you want to have your ears tickled? Here's Joel Osteen.
Delivered over into that.
Yeah.
Now that brings us to another thing, because we're talking about all of these flashy things that these organizations advertise, healing, prosperity and things like that. We discussed the authority, the importance of the authority of Scripture, how, you know, false teaching will seep in if Scripture is not held to an authoritative position. But what about, I know you've talked a number of times on the apostolic gifts. People have basically made caricatures of the apostolic gifts. They have kind of painted them in this kind of non-serious light. As when you look back in Acts, like you were saying earlier, these healings were serious. It was to build up the church and to authenticate Scripture. And it had a very serious purpose. It was not this just going around and arbitrarily, let's heal some little a stitch in your side or something like that. Do you think that that's causing a lot of, I mean, the continuationist position, you think that that's causing a lot of that? I mean, what it does is it breaks down these walls that kind of lets, I know there's moderate continuationists. I'm not saying that, all of them are just completely, out there, but do you think that that is a start? I mean, that's breaking down barriers which allow for other things to come in.
Yeah, I think it is, and I think that's a good observation. I think kind of minimizing or minimalizing what these apostolic gifts were, what their function was. For example, we don't have time to flesh it out here, but per 1 Corinthians 14, 20 through 22, we learn by looking at what the Apostle Paul wrote in his reference to Isaiah 28 that the gift of tongues, the gift of languages, was as it was a sign of judgment against unbelieving Israel. It was not about some private prayer language or some code talk where you can talk to God in some code language that Satan doesn't understand, which is what you hear from charismatics today. So it is like a caricature. Todd White is a guy who you can go on YouTube and search Todd White, like healer or street healer or something like that, and he goes up to people. And he, most of what he does is he's lengthens people's legs. He has people sit down. You've seen that?
Yeah, I've seen that.
You know, and he tries to, and he, apparently there's an epidemic of people having one leg shorter than the other. And he lengthens one person, a person's one of his legs, maybe a half inch or an inch or so, and the leg appears to grow right there on camera. And that's a parlor trick. Fake preachers, fake faith healers have been doing that for decades, and it's a parlor trick. It's nothing more than pulling a rabbit out of a hat. But that's not what we see in the New Testament. We see dramatic healings in the New Testament, not somebody's leg growing half an inch. We see the dead being
Dead
raised.
were raised. You
Yeah.
know, that's a good point about Todd White. And he's not the only one that does this, but when it does come to the big things, the big projects, so to speak, and the people getting up out of wheelchairs and stuff like that, they will pray a prayer over them or something, and then they're like, "Oh, it got a little better. We'll just keep doing it until it gets." That's not how they worked back then. That's not how they worked in the book of Acts. I mean, anybody can read the book of Acts and see that that's not the account of the apostolic gifts. That's not what occurred. I mean, it was a the apostles, first of all, had these gifts, and they were able to be administered at will. I mean, so people like Paul and Peter, they were able to do these things, in obedience to God, of course, but it was basically contingent upon their will. And that is not what you see now. I mean, now you see these people are like, well, they make up excuses for why it couldn't happen. Todd White, had somebody who didn't have part of his leg and said, well, we'll get that thing healed eventually. It's not, that's not how they worked back then.
No. And yeah, in the book of Acts, you see, and with the ministry of Christ, with the ministry of the apostles, and with Philip and Stephen, who were close associates with apostles, you see dramatic, verifiable signs and wonders. Not psychosomatic healings, not somebody saying, oh, yeah, my shoulder feels a little bit better, it's a little bit looser, No, dramatic things that cannot be explained by anything other than the sovereign act and power of God. And that's not what you see today. There's nobody, I tell people, there's nobody on the face of the earth who's doing signs and wonders like the apostles did. Nowhere.
Now, how do we break this down to people? There's a lot of times I know we as a church do evangelism in the park on Saturdays, and we do run into this movement a lot. I mean, out there, sometimes they even bring a booth out and they're out there, and we've had multiple discussions with them. Maybe you could, for the listener's sake, maybe you could kind of run over a gloss of Dr. Waldron's cascade argument, because I think that's very helpful in getting somebody to understand why these things aren't biblical, why they're not, they don't, they're not present today.
Yeah, Dr. Sam Waldron has written a book. I don't. In fact, I'm trying to remember the title of the book, but it deals with what he calls the cascade argument for cessationism. And I think it's an excellent, excellent book. But basically, it is this. He says that there is a cascade argument for cessationism that is irrefutable. It starts with the fact that there are no apostles today, and there aren't. Mm-hmm. There are no modern-day apostles, capital A, men who held that office, because there are three requirements to be an apostle. You had to be an eyewitness, first-person eyewitness of Jesus Christ. You had to be appointed by Christ to be an apostle, and you had to have the ability to perform the signs and wonders of an apostle. And to be an apostle, you had to meet all three of those requirements. Well, nobody today meets even one of those requirements, much less all three. So there's no more apostles today. If there are no more apostles today, there are no more prophets today in the prophetic sense, because the apostles and the prophets worked under the same authority and were held to the same standard. And it was God speaking through these men, revelatory information, new information that had not already been recorded in Scripture, inspired, authoritative. Mm-hmm. So if there are no more apostles, there are no more prophets. If there are no more prophets today, neither are there any more tongue speakers today. And the reason for that is because the genuine gift of tongues, the genuine gift of languages, was the Holy Spirit of God giving an individual, a man, the ability to speak in a language, a known language, that was not known to him. It was not unintelligible gibberish. It was not baby talk, nonsense. It would be like me all of a sudden speaking in fluent Swahili, even right. though I don't know a single word of Swahili. And then somebody else could interpret what I was saying, even though that somebody else didn't know that language either.
Right.
Now, if that was the biblical gift of languages, and so that too is God giving an individual a direct message from him, inspired and authoritative. So we're dealing with authority here. The apostles have authority, the prophets have the same authority, and the gift of tongues operated under the same authority because it was a message coming directly from God. So if there are no more apostles, there are no more prophets. If there are no more prophets, there are no more tongue speakers. If there are no more tongue speakers, neither are there any more miracle workers, because the apostolic gift of miracles was also revelatory in nature. So all of these things operated under the same authority and were held to the same standard. So it's a cascade argument. If you have no more apostles today, then you don't have any more prophets. You don't have any more tongue speakers. You don't have any more miracle workers. So, and it's, I don't know where along that chain you would break it. And so it's a, I think it's an excellent argument and an irrefutable argument.
Yeah, it's very powerful. I think it's able to be, broken down to where somebody can understand it on the street. Even.
Yeah.
And when you're having this kind of conversation, I've gone to, a lot of the times it's because the reason, and this goes back to the scriptural issue, is a lot of the times people indulge in this kind of teaching is because they haven't read the Bible to begin with, really.
That's
I mean,
right.
Especially with passages dealing with this very issue, their lack of discernment is a result of not studying the scriptures and mainly listening to whoever they're sitting under, whoever their quote-unquote pastor is.
Right.
And so I think that goes back to the authority of scripture issue, is that everything needs to be tested according to the scriptures anyways.
Yep.
And so I think that is part of the reason why a lot of this has just seeped in. And so the majority of your ministry has been, of course, to exposit scripture and to make sure people have the tools to read scripture and learn how to do that. Where would you find those things? Are there resources that you know of that might help our listeners kind of come by areas where they might be able to find these things and learn how to study the Bible and read the scriptures like they're supposed to be read?
There's some books on hermeneutics out there that people could avail themselves to. John MacArthur has some really good resources, like I think it's just called How to Study the Bible, but
Mm-hmm.
any commentaries, anything that he's written, very, very good. I'm very appreciative of John MacArthur. But yeah, get a good John MacArthur study Bible, listen to his sermons, and other men like Steve Lawson. And I would plug my own pastor, Jim Osmond. Not many people have heard of him, but he's as good as they come. Website there is kootenaichurch.org, KOOTENAI church.org.
Okay.
Excellent resources there. I've got some stuff, my website, justinpeters.org. But yeah, get a book entitled How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth. A few things in there I'd quibble with, but it's good work. Get a good book on hermeneutics. You could get some that are volumes thick. You can get some that are good primers. So avail yourself to those and some of these men, and listen to them. Listen to some good qualified Bible preachers, and
Right.
when you listen to them and how they handle the Word of God, then you begin to you almost pick up hermeneutics by osmosis.
Yeah.
You learn how they handle the Word of God, and then you begin to adopt some of
Yeah.
those principles.
And another, challenge is the for maybe some of our listeners is finding a good biblical church, a good church that teaches the Bible. And I would throw a recommendation out there. Ninemarks.org
Yeah, nine
is
marks
an
is good.
excellent
Yeah,
resource.
it is.
It has a little fancy map on there that will locate churches in your area and your zip code that meet a criteria of 9 different points. Some of those, one is, I think one of the very first ones is expository preaching. It's one of the most important things. Expository biblical preaching. Evangelism is on there, I think, that your church is reaching out. Things like that. And it's just 9 different points that you should look for and use in evaluating any church that you're going to go visit to kind of see if that is a church that is solid and teaches.
You want elder-led church,
Yes.
preferably
Plurality.
elder-led,
Yeah.
plurality
Plurality
of
of elders.
elders, a church that practices church discipline.
There's several things on there. And I think I've recommended to people before just to print that list out and take it with them while they're sitting and just kind of experiencing the church that they're in to kind of go through those. It's very important because that is where, God's people are to be built up. And it's I love how John Bunyan paints the church in A Pilgrim's Progress, and it is a resting place, a time of renewal throughout your week of your sanctifying journey to glorification. And it's such an important institution founded on the bedrock of Christ, and it should not be made a mockery. There should be no it shouldn't be made into the circus that some are trying to make it into. It's much, much more than that, and it's biblical, and it should be biblical, and the guiding principle should come from Scripture alone.
And I agree 100%, Josh. And I would also add to those listeners, I get emails pretty frequently. How do I find a good church? Or I can't find a good church. What do I do? And I would say, no matter how far you have to drive, you find a good church. And even if you can only go there one or two Sundays a month, far better. If you have to drive 200 miles to go to church, do it once a month. And it's far better to be there, even if you only be there once or twice a month, than to be at a bad church every Sunday. So find a good church. Go to Nine Marks. Go to the Master's Seminary website, tms.edu. They have a thing kind of similar to what Nine Marks does, how to find a good church. I think Paul Washer's website has that as well,
Excellent.
Heart Cry Missionary Society. So there are resources out there, and you search high and low, find one. And if you have to drive a long way, you can't be there every Sunday, talk to the leadership, tell them the situation you're in. Look, I live in another county. And I can't be here every Sunday, but I'm going to be here as often as I can. You let the leadership know, you keep up with what they're doing. So I cannot overstate the importance of having a good, doctrinally sound local body, or even if it can't be local as you can find it, a body to fellowship with.
I mean, some people drive miles and miles for work every day. But how much more important is the fellowship of saints,
Right.
especially sitting under sound preaching? So anyways, we've hit the edge of our time, and I pray that this is an edifying podcast for many of our listeners. And thank you so much for
Thanks, Josh.
Taking this time, even though you've preached a sermon today and you've done a presentation. So it's been a busy man. So
my pleasure. My pleasure.
Anyways, God bless you listeners. And thanks again, Justin, for this.
You're welcome.